It's always, excuse me, a blessing to be able to minister to the church that you're a pastor in. Sometimes you're not well liked. Sometimes you're well liked. Sometimes they don't know about you. Sometimes they don't care about you. But one thing about it, you got me, whether one way or the other. But nevertheless, and we always have felt welcome here every time we've ever come, and it's always an honor to come and speak to family. And that's what you guys are. You're literally our family in every part of our lives. Many of you, I've known some of you before you were even born. You know, you weren't even a twinkle in your mom, dad's eyes, and now you're grown and fixing to have kids of your own, you know. And one thing about it, we're a church that multiplies, you know. Just look around on the pew you're on. Got a pregnant woman on it, probably. That's good. But one of the things I wanted to share today, everybody should have got one of these when you came in with your flyer. It says, "Who I am in Christ." I want you to take that. I want you to put that on your refrigerator. And I want you to start practicing. I'm going to explain that as we go along. But I want you to take that and let that be a part of your life every day. I know you probably have your devotions. Do those. Do everything you can. But take these because I want you to know who you are. And we're going to be talking about affirmations today. Affirmations is something that should have started at home with every one of us. We all should have started affirming our children when they were small, telling them how important you are, how pretty you are, how great you are. You're such a handsome young man. You can do this and you can do that. I'm just excited because when you grow up, I know you're going to be a mighty man and you're going to be a mighty woman. I know you are. All of those that I'm speaking are affirmations. I used to rub Janice's belly when she was pregnant with our kids and just tell my kids, you know, you're going to be blessed of God. God's going to use you one day. You're going to be special. You're going to be gifted. You're going to be talented in a lot of things. God's going to use you. And we love you. We love you. And, you know, when my kids came out, I mean, they almost like, here I am. Let's get to work, you know. Well, it wasn't easy for everything to happen. I mean, life brings its assortment of things to draw your kids away. How many of you know that I don't care how close you are to the Lord, the devil is still out there to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he'll try to do you that way. He'll try to do your kids that way. He'll probably try to bring disappointment to us. And we know the best for our children, and we try to get them in that mode. And I thank God right now, my kids are flowing in the things of God. One of them had stepped over the line a while back, and it was really hard on us, but we made it through it, just like we made it through all the rest of them, because God is our source. And right now, he's serving God. He taught vacation Bible school last week, every night of the week. In another church he's going to, but he did it. And it's like, wow, I'm really proud of him. I mean, I'm a committed Christian. I'm a pastor, but I ain't teaching vacation Bible school nowhere for a week. I'm just joking. Now, some of y'all said, oh, poor thing. God help him. Bless his heart. But I'm not that committed to that, but he was. And I thank God for it because it was things that we affirmed in his life from when he was little. Because I'm convinced if we give him some good stuff, the Bible says train up a child in the way they should go, in the end they'll not depart. If we'll give them some good stuff, they may do some bad stuff and some stupid stuff along the way. But somewhere along the way, they're going to culminate back to that part and say, I need to get back in the flow of things and do what God wants me to do. Amen? I'm excited about that. I like to see it happen in your lives. I like to affirm things. It says it comes from our Father. We get them from our parents, from teachers, from people that we're around. People affirm you. They tell you things that lift you up, that make you feel good. Have you ever had someone to do you that way? I'll never forget. It says that we get it from our fathers and our mothers. And I never got it from my father and my mother. I never remember my daddy or my mom telling me I was going to succeed in anything. I had some aunts that says, you so mean, somebody's going to kill you before you're 30 years old. I got saved and I had long hair. I had an aunt one day flipped it up like that and she said, that long hair is going to send you to hell. It's like, that's not a good affirmation. And I heard that kind of stuff over and over. You'll never amount to nothing. You'll never do this. You'll never do that. Well, I left home when I was 12 years old, so only affirmation I got was off of the street. But I made it through all those years, and I don't regret one of them. People say, oh, how hard it was for you. Well, I learned a lot of things I learned a lot of wisdom by being on the street. And I don't recommend this for young people. If you're here today, you stay home and you get everything you can get, because it's harder out there now than it was when I was growing up. But I got some people around me that affirmed me. I'll never forget when I was 14 years old, I went to work at a body shop just washing cars and cleaning the shop up. And this guy took a liking to me. And he was a German guy, barely spoke English, but he was very smart. And he began to show me things. First thing he asked me one time, he said, Kenny, he said, do you know what volumetric efficiency means? And I looked at him like, this must be a foreign person. I don't even know what he said. So he said, you know what that means? I said, no. He said, I want you to go learn what that means. And if you learn it, I want you to come back, and I'm going to start teaching you some stuff that will probably revolutionize your life for the rest of your life. So I went, got a dictionary. I still went to school. I still dressed good. I still eat good. I did everything that normal people do. I just didn't have a house to live in. I lived with friends and aunts and uncles and just wherever somebody would take me in. But I had people to affirm me, and he was one of them. And he began to sit me down and tell me how to do things. We used to race cars back then, dirt cars. And he would take those engines and would put them on a table at night, late at night. And he would show me, you got to cut this out, you got to move that, you got to cut this valve, and tell me all the intricate things to do it. And he was teaching me things back then that the technology is just now getting up into with cars today. And that was 50 years ago he was showing me that. But he was a very intelligent person, but he took the time to show me how to do something, which, by the way, I made a living at for 27 years after that. But he would tell me other things about stuff. Now, he was a lost guy. He cheated on his wife. You probably wouldn't have liked him at all, but he had some good qualities about him. And some of the good qualities was he took the time to teach me and to show me how to build cars from the ground up. I built 10 or 12 cars working with him. You see that on TV every day. These people are making mega bucks. Well, I used to do the whole thing and maybe get $200 out of it. But nevertheless, I got the wisdom, I got the knowledge about what to do and how to do it, because somebody affirmed something to me. And he said, you're going to be a great mechanic one day. You're going to be good. He said, you know this. You've already captured this, and you can do this. He said, you go for it. And I did. And I went to work at the dealership, and I made master mechanic, which is the highest honor you could get. And I've told you all that story. I'm not going out. Out of 700 and something people, five of us passed the test. And I was one of them that passed that test for master mechanic. Another thing, I had gold tool awards for 27 years because of what this man affirmed in my life. And it's because he saw something in me that was probably potential. And he wanted me to use that thing. And then he taught me how to race. I was racing, driving the car one day, just breaking it in on the ball field at Kentwood. Don't tell nobody that. And don't do that. But we used to go there late in the afternoons, and I'd drive it around and around the baseball field just to break the motor in. And then one time I saw him looking at his clock, and he said, do that. And when he said do that, that meant nail it. So I nailed it. And I pulled that left front wheel up, and I went around that track about six times with that wheel up, screaming around there. Come back, and he said, you're driving the car this week. I'm 14. Go to Laurel, Mississippi, the half-mile track for national champs. Go up there, and I beat them. I won. I'm 14 years old. Come up to the thing, and they said, okay. The guy said, give me your driver's license. I said, I left them at home. He said, you don't have driver's license, do you? I said, no, sir, I don't. He said, well, you just won a national event, and you're going to have to forfeit it. And he said, don't ever do that, especially the line part. He said, but don't ever stop racing with what you're doing. He said, you have the ability, you have the know-how. He said, I don't know where you got it, but it must have been affirmed to you by somebody that knew what was going on. That word has stuck with me all these years because it takes people to affirm one another in doing other things. One time, Janice and I went to I still can't remember the name. Callaway Gardens. If you ever have a chance to go there, it's over in Georgia. Atlanta. Right outside of Atlanta, Georgia. We went there, and they have this park there, and they had a bird show going on that day. And I went to the bird show, and they had all these stadium seats all out there like that. It had a big aisle down the middle. And this guy has eagles in boxes that's in the woods behind you. And he comes down next to the water that's out there with a little T-post that's right there. And he comes out with a little bag on his belt. And he comes in and he says, "Now, everybody be sure to sit down. This is a dangerous place because we've got birds that's going to be flying in and out and doing stuff." So sure enough, he would blow a little whistle, and boy, one of them come down. And go down and land on that little T-post. And he would take a little piece of meat and give it to him, and that eagle would eat it. And he'd tell all about that bird, and then he would release it. It'd fly off. Then he would do another one. He said, "But now I got one that's coming, and I want you to really pay close attention to this eagle that's coming." And he named the bird. It was bigger than a golden eagle. And he said, "When this eagle comes in, everybody be sure to sit down. Don't stand up. Don't put your hands out, because this thing has got talons on it. Will rip you apart. And it's got a big wingspan. So everybody, you know, they're sitting there, some on their hands and folded under. Nobody wants to move because this eagle's fixing to fly in." But he said, "I want you to really pay close attention to what he does when he comes in." So the tension gets up, and sure enough, he blows his little whistle. And this eagle flies out of a box that's behind us, and he comes down. And, I mean, you could feel the wind all the way through all of the seats that was in there, down through there, just shoo, shoo, like that. And right before he gets to the little T-post at the end of it, he goes, "Quack, quack, quack, quack." And everybody's looking at one another like, "There's something wrong with that. Here's a flesh-eating eagle that can tear you apart, and it comes in and it sounds like a duck. What is that?" And the guy said, "How many of you noticed that there was something different about that eagle when it flew in here?" Of course, about half the people had never heard of a quack of duck, I guess. But the ones that held their hands up, they said, "Yeah, he quacks like a duck." He said, "You know why he quacks like a duck? His mother was killed and his father left him. And he was raised by a family of ducks. And everything that he does, he thinks he's a duck. He quacks like a duck." And he got him off the stand and he walked. And he was walking like a duck, you know. And it's like, this is just not right here. But that's what happened. And then he went on with the story. And he said, "I'm going to tell you what happens there. There's this process called imprinting. When an animal is raised by another animal, it imprints whatever that animal is to that animal. And that's what that animal thinks it is." And I want to tell you a stat that's true. It's studied by everybody. That most children from the ages of 1 to 6 years old, everything they learn during that time span, 80% of that, they carry it into their adult life. That's called imprinting. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, they take that 80% into their adult life. And most of them will live with that in their lives for the rest of their lives because it's there. Now, there is some good things. Because if you got one stable person in a family, or a pastor, or a youth pastor, or a coach, or a teacher, somebody that kids look up to, they might be able to get some of that dysfunction out of their lives, especially if it was negative things. And that's what that guy taught me when I was growing up, because instead of concentrating on what my mom and dad did or did not do in my life, I can't hold them accountable to that. All I can hold them accountable is me. It's like they did what they did. Some of it was out of ignorance. Some of it was because they did not know, but it is not going to conform to the way that I live my life the rest of my life. Amen? And we all got to come to that place and realize we are who we are by the grace of God. We could sit down in here and open up Pandora's box about things that went on in everybody's lives. And some of us has got bad stories. Some's got good stories. But if it all boiled down to it, we've all come from some kind of dysfunctional life somewhere along the way because we were not affirmated. We were not affirmated the way that we needed to be. Nobody came along and told us a lot of positive things in our life, which brings us up to this point right here. I had the privilege one time of going to Jerusalem. And while I was there, I went to the Jordan River. We were baptizing people and just there as part of the tour that we were there. And when I was there, I thought about that time. Had just read that story to where Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins. And that day came when Jesus was to be baptized. And John the Baptist was standing. I was standing on the side of the Jordan, really, literally in the water. I was up about knee deep. And I was standing in that water looking up and down the Jordan River. And it's like, wow, this is where Jesus was. This is where John the Baptist was one time. They were standing in this same water right here. And this is what went on back then. And I got to thinking about it. And it's like, what would it been like? And I looked up and they have a trail that comes down the bank on the other side. It goes down to the river. And I was watching it. And it was almost like I stepped back in time. And I could almost picture John the Baptist in the water baptizing people. And this is my own mind. That's not scriptural. John the Baptist was probably there baptizing people and doing what he was doing. And then Jesus comes down the thing, and he went down there for John the Baptist to baptize him. And he gets down there, and John the Baptist says, no, I'm the one that's in need to be baptized by you. Jesus says, no, it must be done this way to have everything fulfilled the way it needs to be. And then John the Baptist takes Jesus, and I'm convinced that he baptized him into the Jordan River. And the Bible says when he came up, a dove came, and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came and lit on his head. But besides that, a voice spoke from the Heavenly Father. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved Son. The greatest affirmation that's ever gone on in the face of the earth was God the Heavenly Father affirming His Son. That would be like me and you telling our son, you know, that just scored a touchdown, would go give him a high five and say, man, you did good. But it's a lot deeper than that, you see, because Jesus is there to affirm us. And it went into the place to where God was saying, this is my beloved Son, which is going to change the order of this world. He's going to change people's lives. He's going to do things that you never saw in your life. That's when His miracle ministry began. And as He was driven into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, when He came out, then His ministry took off because He was affirmed of the Father. And many of you have not been affirmed, maybe by your parents, by anybody else. But I want you to know one thing. The Heavenly Father wants to affirm you. And that's why it's important that we know things like what I'm talking about right here. And I'll never forget when I first got saved and I really knew that I was saved, that I knew that God was affirming me. Everything that I would do, I felt that peace and that joy. And those are things, those are affirmation fruits, I call them. When you feel that joy and you feel that peace in your life, you know that God is affirming you. That you know that you're doing the will of God when you sense that happening to your life. And I'll never forget, because my family, after I had left, it went 15 years, and my family never spoke to me. My mom, dad, brothers, sisters, not one of them spoke a word to me. You could call them, they'd hang the phone up. You could send them a letter, they'd throw it in the trash. Nobody would speak. And it's like, you say, well, what a horrible family. Well, a lot of that was brought on by me. Because by the time I had left and lived on the street, I'd become very self-centered, self-made person, everything that I could do. I learned how to do things so I could make it on my own. And I did that up until the time I got saved. And then when I got saved, it's like, you know what? I need to start getting my family back together, whatever we got to do. And I prayed for almost 30 years for my family. And one Sunday morning, I was preaching here in this church. And I looked up, and my family started coming in that door right there. Every one of them came down this aisle, and at the time we had two extra pews up here. And they came down, and they filled those two pews. And I preached my heart out. I mean, it's like, here's my family. I haven't seen them in all these years. And I preached, and they got up and came to the altar, and every one of them got saved. And it's like, you know, God is true. I don't care what my family did or did not do. My Heavenly Father affirmed me, and I know that I'm on the right track. Well, then later on after that, my dad got cancer, and I was up there every weekend praying with him and talking with him. And my dad was a pretty rough guy, and he told me, he said, Kenny, he said, you tell me all this stuff about Jesus. He said, I've heard it all my life. He said, but I've done so many things, and I don't think God can forgive me for what I've done. And I said, sure He will. So I went through two weekends of just showing him how much God loved him and how much He would forgive him. And then one day I said, you know what, Daddy? I can explain this stuff to you all day long, but until you accept Christ in your life, you'll never sense the power and the love and the forgiveness of God unless you speak it with your mouth. And he said, what do I need to do? And I led him to the Lord. I said, I'm going to say the sinner's prayer. You repeat after me. And we did, and we prayed. And he said, wow. He said, I don't know what's going on, but he said, something's different about us. And I said, I know it. And he said, well, let me ask you something. What can I do? He said, I was a bad father. I didn't take good care of y'all. I had two brothers and two sisters. And he said, I didn't take care of my family the way it needed to be done. What can I do about that? And I said, well, Daddy, you know what you need to do is denounce all the cursings and all the things that you said bad and did bad. And then you need to release the blessings. And he said, well, I don't know how to do that. What is that all about? And I said, when you're a Christian, you have the ability to release the blessings of God on your children and other people. You can either curse them or you can bless them. He said, I want to bless them because I've cursed y'all all my life. Literally. I mean, he did. And he said, what do I need to do? So I opened the Bible to Numbers 6, chapter 6. And I said, I'm going to read this, and I want you to read this after me. And it was basically about blessing your family. Read that when you get a chance. I can't remember all of it, so I'm not going to try to quote it. But it's Numbers chapter 6. And he read that, and he really meant that. And his eyes filled with tears. And I said, now I want you to look at every one of your children. They were all gathered at this time. I want you to look at every one of them, and I want you to denounce the curse that's been on their lives. And I want you to pray a blessing over them. I want you to pray that prayer that's in this Bible over each one of them. And I watched my daddy do that, and it was something that I had already received the blessings of God. I had already been a Christian for a long time, but for the first time in my life, there was a certain amount of release in my life. And I knew where I was going, and I knew I had the blessings on my life. But it's just something about being released by your parents and having that blessing pass forth into your life. And it wasn't but about 2 weeks after that, he passed away. But I'll never forget that because it was an affirmation from my father. And you know what it did? It just took away all those 30 years of not talking to him and not being blessed and not being affirmed. It's just like it was just wiped away. And the blessings of God come there. And God, I mean, and I never stopped loving my parents. And I don't know if they stopped loving me, but we got together for a long, long time. Now I got three of them that's already passed away. But at least we got to that point in our life to where we could look at one another and say something that would bless somebody. Amen? Affirmations. Everybody needs an affirmation. If you work at your job and nobody ever tells you that you do a good job and they're glad to have you there, either you're a bad employee or you need to have a boss that will affirm you. Amen? And that's just a natural thing. And I've always learned that if you tell somebody something, exhort them and try to bless their lives, it'll always come back on you. Every time I've tried to give something away, it comes back. Tenfold, a hundredfold. It's just that way. And when we affirm, make an affirmation to somebody, it will change their lives. You never know who's coming in these doors that's gone through hell. And I mean, they're having a hard time. And you just go up and speak a word to that person, a good affirmative. What are you doing, man? You look good today. I'm glad to see you. And it'll change their lives. You know, that's why, and I told the first group this morning, I'm 70 years old, so I can tell these young girls, hey, gorgeous, how you doing? Hey, beautiful. And I do that. I tell women that all the time. You know why? Because some of them's husbands don't tell them that. Some of them's mom and dad never told them that. And they need to be told that. Hey, can I get an amen out of the women's section? Now, that's not flirting with people. I'm not trying to put the make on somebody. I'm too old for that. But I'm just telling you, I got daughters everywhere, spiritual daughters, and I'm going to tell them how beautiful they are. Call them gorgeous and bless them. And they are, by the way. And show them that you're important because you're God's child. And I'm just the hands that's on the face of the earth to tell you, and the mouthpiece to tell you that. An affirmation. And young men, I see young men, it's like, man, it's good to see you. I hugged two guys in back here this morning, just a while ago. There they are, sitting right there. Right there. BJ, and I can't think of your name, brother. Josh. I mean, you know, they're strong and they're muscular, and they come up to me every Sunday, man, how you doing? And just, you know, my eyes almost pop out. And it's like, what a blessing. those guys are, and I tell them how good they are and how nice and handsome they are. They're strong and they're robust and they're doing good things. And thank God we got young men all over this church that are serving God. Amen? You know, let's clap for that. You know, that's one thing that we're doing at the men's thing. And by the way, we will be meeting, and the men will be meeting Wednesday night. But the Wednesday night men's group that we're doing, we're affirming men that are taking their right stand in God. They're getting all the hurts of the past and the wounds of not being affirmated and affirmated is something that you go. You don't want to be affirmated because you're going to be drunk if you do. Affirmated. But we're affirmating guys to see who they are in Christ. And they're stepping out and doing making a difference in their life. And they're doing what God wants them to do. Amen? How many of you know we need that in the day we're living in? We need all men, not only young men, but every man, every woman, to be affirmated to do what God wants us to do. It's a blessing to be in that part of it. Amen? Okay, let's do some things here. It says, positive affirmations can be used to reprogram your thought pattern. They change the way you think and feel about yourself. I want you to take that piece of paper I got you, and I want you to put that on your refrigerator, your desk, or somewhere where you can get it. And I want you to read that thing every day. And I'll tell you what, if it does not change your life by next weekend, I will give the first person that comes to me a $50 bill. Now, if you lying, you got to face a God that loves you, but He will get you. But if I promise you to be affirmative, if you do some of those things, it will change, it will reprogram your mind. You won't be that old critical, cynical person that you've been. Those things, those negative thoughts that just bombard you all the time, you'll begin to think on those things that are good and pure and just and righteous. Those things that are of good report. You'll see action happening in your life if you will begin to do those things. That's one of them. They are short, positive statements that can help you focus on goals. And those goals is one, the scripture. But another goal is, where is your life going? If I ask you today, where have you been for the last year? What has gone on in your life that's affirmative that you can say, I can hang my hat on that because God told me to do something and I did it. And I've been faithful about doing it. And I have changed because I listened to the voice of God and it's changing my life. And if you haven't done anything like that, then it's time for you to get up and get a move on. We got to get affirmative. We got to get something rolling in your life. Get rid of negative, self-defeating beliefs. Reprogram your mind to positive thoughts. Think on those things that are good. Let the Lord affirm you. And you say, well, how does that happen? You know, I'll never get a blessing from my dad. I'll never get a blessing from my mom ever again. The one I got was it. That's it. But I'm going to tell you what. The Holy Spirit affirms me every day. Every day. And you know how He does that? Usually through someone else. Maybe one of you that will come up and say, hey, Pastor Kenny, you're looking good. Hey, Pastor Kenny, you did. That was wonderful. You did good. But you know what you're talking about. Those are affirmations. Now, I don't need that. I enjoy it when somebody tells me that. And I'm not looking for that. But it does good for everybody to be thanked and tell them, you're going to be good about this. You know, Billy, have you changed in the last 25 years? Yeah, I know he has, you see, because I knew him before, dirty dog. I'm joking. But I've watched God do a work in his life over these years. And Peppers, yes. But and he's affirming things in his life. And you see a change. And when God affirms something in your life, people should see a change. When people come up to you and say, man, I've been praying for you. I don't know what you've been going through, but I just want to know I'm sticking in there with you. If you need something, give me a call. That's an affirmation to say, hey, somebody's been thinking about me. Not a negative thing, but they've been thinking about me. They love me. They really do. And that changes your attitude in your life. Okay, I'm gonna have to move on because I know y'all are going to get hungry. Let's see what I want. Oh, yeah. Why don't we use affirmations? That's the question. Why don't we use more of them? Why don't we do that? Is it because we're bashful? We don't want to say it? We don't know what to say? Have we ever been affirmed? If we've never been affirmed, then it's hard for us to affirm someone else. See, that's what gave me a lot of slack with my family, my mom and dad, because I think that a lot of things they were ignorant to for what I'm talking about today. If they would have heard this when I was a little kid, I got a feeling it would have been a different lifestyle for all of us if that would have happened. But they did not know that. By not knowing that, people don't do it. But when you know that you have got to affirm people and be affirmed, it makes a difference in your life. Listen to this. Negative affirmations. It has been demonstrated that nearly 90% of our thoughts are negative. We find ourselves struggling. Each negative thought or word is a negative affirmation. They are easy to accept. They feed on our negative belief, and most people have trouble breaking free of negative thoughts. We become hopelessly locked into our own, usually false, negative attitudes. 90% of people have negative. Are y'all part of the 90? Anybody in here? Nobody? Nobody's being honest with me? That's a negative thing. Come on, be honest with me. We're home. We're family. But we're bombarded. If you're a Christian and you're moving in a direction that God's got for you to go, you're going to get some negative affirmations. Because the devil is still real. He's still out there to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And every good thing that God tells you, he's going to try to tear it out of your life. Whether you'll admit it or not, but it happens. And if we don't deal with it, they turn into negative attitudes and murmuring and complaining. That's what kept the children of Israel from going to the promised land. 2.5 million of them going, and they didn't, but two people out of the whole group, and it was two of the kids that made it to where they were supposed to go. And most of that was because they murmured and they complained because they did not know how to know and take the affirmation from God. When God was saying all the time, I give you the blaze at night to keep you warm, to keep you lit. I put the cloud over you to keep you cool. To keep you cool, calm, and collected during the daytime. I feed you with manna. I gave you quail. You wanted quail. I gave you quail. You eat so much of it, you literally choked to death because they gluttoned themselves and they murmured and they complained and they didn't make it to the promised land. And we can do the same thing if we don't watch it. If they'd have had this, if I'd have been there and gave them this lesson, we probably would have had something. No, I'm just seeing if y'all listening. We are to challenge negative beliefs and thoughts. Affirmation is a process of becoming aware of your thoughts and words every day. Every day of your life. If you'll write this word, affirmation, and stick it somewhere where you'll see it, to remind yourself that you need to keep your thoughts and every word that goes in you in control and intact about what you're doing, it will start changing your life. You'll become a positive person. You'll begin to say things that are good. People will have, it will be a joy for them to be around you. They'll say, man, I don't know what it is about that dude, but he has just really got it together. I enjoy being around there. He's got things that's happening. I can see God moving in their lives, and I like being around that kind of person, whether it's a man or a woman. People will enjoy being around you if you get those positive things come out. But if everything you say is negative and the old humdrum thing, people don't want to be around you. That's like a detriment to them. It's like a sickness that gets on people. And most people will run from that kind of people. Amen? Another thing is choosing to think and project happy, positive thoughts. Create positive affirmations. The Lord is my Father. Just don't forget that. Your earthly father and your earthly mother may never affirm you, but your heavenly Father will affirm you every day of your life, every minute of your life, if you'll let him. Affirmations create positive affirmations. I have a wonderful job that fulfills me on many levels. I hear people say, man, I hate my job. I hate my boss. I hate the people there. It's a humdrum, no good thing. And it's like, really? Do you make money there? Yeah, I do make money. Did you drive a car there that you might have bought with the money that you made there? Yeah, I did. Yeah. I said, are you paying for a house with money that you got off of that job? Yeah, I did that too. I said, well, why do you hate your job so much? Well, everybody there is so negative, and they ain't got it together. They're not a Christian like I am. I have the joy of the Lord. It's like, you got joy? You hate your job, and you act like that? No wonder your people at your job don't get along with you. Amen? You see, if you got a job, and you're doing it, work as unto the Lord. I had a job that I had a bad boss. Not here. This is before here, before coming here. But I had a job that had a bad boss. And I mean, he was smart aleck. He was hard on you about a lot of things. A lot of people got to do things and get away with it. I didn't, because I was the moneymaker for him. And I had other people. I mean, one day I wanted to go watch my son play football. He had his first football game. And he said, Daddy, are you going to be there? And I promised him, I'll be there. I got ready to go, and I asked him, I said, look, I need to get off about 3 o'clock. My son's playing ball, and I need to go. He said, no, you're not going anywhere. He said, you got work to do. You need to get back to your job. That didn't make me real happy. I did. So I come in the next day, and I go to the same tower where the work is passed out, and the front end guy comes in, and he had been out the day before drunk, and he comes in, and the same boss that told me no, I couldn't get off, asked him, he said, well, what was you doing yesterday? He said, man, it was my birthday. I went out and I put a big stem winder on. I was drunker than who'd have thought it. And I just took the day off. And they high-fived one another, and they both walked off. And it's like, you know what? This is a bum job. You know, here I wanted to go watch my boy play football for the first time in his life. And here comes this dude in here that went and got drunk all day long, and they think that was okay. And I didn't say a word. I just went and prayed. And then later on, he come and he said, you know, Kenny, he said, I think I was off base when I told you not to go play with your son. Because his son was getting pretty old, too. And he said, I probably should have never done that. And I said, well, that's okay. Just blow it off. I said, but you know what? You reap what you sow. And I felt like a preacher was going to come on. It's like, buddy, I could back you in the corner and tell you a lot more than that. But I didn't do that. I just left it alone because you know what? My affirmation comes from the Lord. And He gave me special times to be with my son and do things that nobody else could do. Amen? Now, you may work at a place like that, but you work as unto the Lord because you work in there for one reason, because God gave you that job. And if you're making money and you're paying your bills, you need to stay there. And whatever it is, you might need to change about some stuff. And if you don't like your job that much and you can get another one, go get another one. But the main thing is don't lose your joy and your positive attitude about things stuck in a place that you don't want to be. Amen? Another thing is to get affirmations in our life is sometimes we need to look in the mirror. You know, the closest things that you'll ever remember is someone sitting down and looking you in the eye and telling you something, whether it's getting on your case or whether it's blessing you. But when you're sitting there eyeball to eyeball with somebody, you're affirming things in their lives, and that is important. A lot of times I'll see kids in this church that I'll talk to. Some of them I know by name, some of them I don't. But when I see one of them, I'll try to get down on my knee and try to get eye level with them and talk to them. But there's many kids that won't look at you in the eyes. They'll turn their head down or they'll look at the floor and they don't want to look at you. That tells me that kid is hurt. They've not had the affirmations that they need to get past where they are. That tells me that we as adults, and when you see a kid like that, you need to start affirming things in their lives and say, man, you're going to be a great little man of God. You know, I'm so proud of you. You play soccer? Yeah. I bet you're good on your team. You ever scored? No, you're going to score. I mean, just speak something in their lives. Affirm something positive to them and let them know. But look at them in the eyes. And I'm saying that to say sometimes you need to get in the mirror and not comb your hair and not see how many more wrinkles you got. But look straight into your own eyes and tell yourself, I am blessed of God. I am important. God's got a plan for me. I'm going to be somebody one day. I'm going to do the will of God. You tell yourself that way if you have to look in a mirror, but affirm yourself. Get it down deep in your spirit, man, that you are important by God. Amen? And when you read your Bible, you say, this is my Father affirming me. And when you see that power of the Holy Spirit coming out of there, it's just like your earthly father would tell you, I'm proud of you. You need to remember that time when Jesus was getting baptized and the Holy Spirit, God the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And you read the Word of God and you let that same blessing, that affirmation come to you. And it will change your life and everything that you do. Amen? Say affirmations with passion. Let it come out. Just, I'm so blessed of God. It's such a joy to live in this world. I just am thrilled to be here today. Do you see any passion in that? I mean, you ought to get up. Praise God, this is a day that the Lord has made. I'm going to be blessed today. I'm going to go somewhere and I'm going to get a blessing and I might just lay one on somebody else. Woo, I'm excited about something. Passion. Because when somebody hollers and screams at you, it's going to get your attention. Now, don't go out and scream at somebody. Are you blessed? You going to hell or what? I mean, don't do something stupid like that. Go bless somebody. Tell them, man, this is a good day. You find people, I'm going to tell you what, those kind of people will come to you at Walmart when you're in a hurry and you're trying to check out. They're going to come up right behind you and just say, excuse me, sir, and they're going to open their whole life up to you. It's like, oh, my gosh. Aunt Susie did what with Uncle Ben and Jack did this and people that you don't know, don't even care about knowing, she's going to tell you all of that. But the bottom line is if you'll listen to her long enough, she'll tell you something bad that's going on in her life and she needs help. And you might be the one right there to affirm something to her. Amen? They're at Walmart. They're everywhere. Sing affirmations. Sing the Word of God. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Sing it. Let those things come and affirm you and get you stronger in everything that you do. Amen? Now, I know y'all getting hungry. We're going to go right now. This is affirmations for joy and happiness. Life is joy-filled and delightful surprises every day. My life is a joy filled with love, fun, and friendship. All I need to do is stop criticizing, forgive, relax, and be open. Those are some simple things if we'll do. If we'll just stop doing what we were doing. Stop criticizing. Stop murmuring. And listen to this. This is a good prayer right here. It says, I choose love, joy, and freedom. Open my heart and allow wonderful things to flow into my life. That's a good prayer to pray every day and just say, Lord, I want that to happen. I want to open my life. And whatever it is that's been holding me back, keeping me from being joyful and excited about you, I'm stopping it right now. I'm not going to live off of false affirmations that's happened in my life through the past. I can't do nothing about them anyway. See, like right now, it's exactly 12:34. There's not one thing you can do about 12:32. Is it? Can anybody do something? If you can, I want to watch you do it. You can't do it, but you can do something about 12:36. But you can't live in the past. You got to go on. We got to get these things out of our life and get far removed from them every day of our life. And I got a bunch of other stuff, and I can't go there. But it says, be specific with what you want. Habit change, smoking, procrastinations, overindulging, making excuses, blaming others. Complaining. We can't do that. Attitude building. Being responsible for what God's given us. We don't have time to be babies anymore. God is raising up a mature church, and that brings on responsibilities to us. And when we're responsible, take that responsibility. Don't shirk it off to someone else. Being responsible. Positive thinking. Compassion for other people. God only knows people in this world need compassion everywhere. And we're the ones that have the compassion. When we look at people through the eyes of Jesus, we will have compassion. Motivational, energy, trust, desire, and purpose. Find a desire. The Bible says that God will give us the very desires of our heart if we will follow after Him. And I'm amazed at the things that just they don't just follow me. I know that God blesses me with stuff every day of my life. Not only mentally, spiritually and financially, but just His love. Every day I feel something new about the Lord, and it changes my life. Another thing is, let the Holy Spirit affirm you, and you affirm others by the Holy Spirit. And that will revolutionize your life when you begin to do that. Amen? Why don't you stand to your feet? I got, I think somebody's going to come play the keyboard or something here. And I know that some of you need to go, and if you want to go, you're released to go. But if you want to get prayed for, you want to come down here, we want to affirm you. I got some people that want to help and pray with you. We want to affirm you. We want to tell you how much you're loved. We appreciate you. You know, when we get up here and make announcements and say, we really appreciate your giving, we really do. For one thing, you're helping in the kingdom of God. You're doing what God wants you to do. You're important. And what a blessing it is to see one of you come in and give a testimony of what God's done in your life. It lets us know as pastors here, Brother Terry and myself especially, that knows that the things that we teach and the things that we show you, you're taking those and you're applying them to your life. That means that you're taking a positive affirmation and you're using it in your life. And what a joy that is. And if you're here and you got any part of this sermon hit you anywhere, I want you to come forth. Just come on. It won't take but just a few minutes. We're not going to embarrass you. We just want you to come down here and lay hands on you and love you and tell you that we want to affirm you. You are my brother. You are my sister. And we want to tell you how much God loves you and get you on that path that you'll see that every day of your life. So come on. Thank you, Lord.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace, 'twas grace that taught. That grace. Yes, you are. Your unending love, amazing grace. Sing, the Lord has promised good to me. The Lord has promised good to me. His hope, my hope, secure.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I hope I hope just some of this touched you today, to draw you closer to Him, because He's got an affirmation for every one of us. And He sent that affirmation to Jerusalem, and He died on a cross to show us how much He loves us. If we can remember that, then we can remember to live for Him every day. If He can die for us, we can live for Him. Amen. As you go, have a good 4th of July, and we'll see you next Sunday. Adios.